A few years back, we had a dear sister who has now gone on to her reward, but one that would frequently ask me, why is it that we have to study the Old Testament? We don't live under that law. I've heard you say it several times. Oh, the truth of the matter is, we do not live under the Old Testament law, but the Old Testament law was recorded and given to us so that we might learn from those things, as we are told the things that are written for our learning. And so this evening we want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, and we want to learn something from Jeremiah. There are many such studies that could be entered into and could be beneficial to us even in this age, because we're dealing with the same God, albeit under a different law. And there are some things about God that never change. In Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, we have a rather lengthy scripture reading this evening, or a text, if you will. And most of the text of the sermon this evening will come from Jeremiah. So if you're not that familiar with where Jeremiah is in the Bible, find it now and then put your thumb there, or a bookmark or something of that nature, and you'll be able to return to it quickly. In Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, we read, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall truly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gathered into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of withholding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband and with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask, and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my word, nor to my law, but rejected it." As we've read this particular portion of the book of Jeremiah, we know that he was known as the weeping prophet, not only because of the persecution that he himself personally had endured, but also because of the glimpse that he was given into what Israel had brought upon themselves. We know that those who were a part of Israel wanted Israel to succeed. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that his prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But there was something that was lacking in them. They had a zeal of God, but it was not according to knowledge. Jeremiah had been given a glimpse into the attitude of Israel. He had seen the decline and fall of God's people. When God's people fall, it's because God's people do not follow God's word. And from this we can learn. The lessons that Jeremiah learned and the lessons that he taught are lessons from which we can still benefit as Christians today. The premise is still there. The concept is still the same with God. And so let's look at a few things. From Jeremiah we can learn a lot about perseverance. We wonder what perseverance means, because we often don't use that word except for in Bible study when it comes up, but we understand what it means to persist. But we can learn from Jeremiah, as we look in the passage we just read, as well as Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 9 through 13, that many people who are living in sin will persevere or persist in that way of life. have actually talked to people who were living in a life that was not in accordance to the Word of God, and have had those people to say, who am I hurting? Am I bothering anybody by living like this? Well, the fact of the matter is, if no one else, you're hurting yourself. You're harming yourself. You're endangering your own soul by not opening your eyes to the Word of God and seeing what is going on. In Jeremiah 2, we see that Jeremiah, speaking to these people, said, wherefore will I plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send into Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. From the message that Jeremiah gave to Israel there, we can learn that there is but one God. And if we look for a source of living water, or for strength, or for perseverance throughout this life, in some other place we won't find it. And the way that it was described there, they had hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Why have they done this? Well, according to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22, a description is given about those people. And why that specific description is given is provided for us as well. It says, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. They have not been taught. I was talking to someone here just the other day about something that we both observed in a child, a group of children actually. There was absolutely no respect whatsoever for the adults who were in charge of them at that moment. And the problem is that they had not been taught to respect. I know that when I was coming up, it didn't matter who that adult was, if they told us something, at the very least, we better stand and listen to it. Because it was a sign of respect. But notice what he said about these people. They know knowledge. They have no knowledge. They are wise to do evil. They have none understanding. That's why they're called sottish children. Now, as we read in our text, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, they were in direct opposition to God. When the message of God comes to them through Jeremiah, and in fact through other prophets, they rejected it. They did not want it. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. God had laid out the plan of that they were to follow in its fullness to Moses. And it had been recorded, and it had been followed for a short period of time. In fact, when Joshua took over, when Moses had died, God appointed him, and as long as Joshua lived and continued to teach the people, and as long as the elders were with Joshua lived, guess what Israel did? They followed those old paths. But as time went on, they became unwise. They were as those that have no knowledge. And therefore, they were told, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. You tell people that today, and they say, well, man, you need to catch up. We're in the 21st century. Well, God's Word is the same in the 21st century as it was in the first. And it hasn't changed. But notice, he said, ask for the old paths. What exists in the old paths? Why would we want to look back to the old paths? Because it is the good way. It is the way that God has given, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But look what they said. We will not walk therein. Kind of reminds me of some children today. You can't tell me what to do. That's the attitude that Israel had. And if people want to persist in that way of life, or in a way of sin, they're going to. Oftentimes people would say, why then do we need to go to them if they're not going to listen? Well, you're not going to reach everybody you come in contact with. You're not going to be able to convince people of the danger that their soul is in. Not everyone that you come in contact with, but there's going to be someone that perhaps is looking for truth. And they will recognize it when they see it or when they hear it. In Jeremiah 25:4, we see this. The reason that these people would not walk therein, the reason that they rejected God, is because they refused to hear. In Jeremiah 25:4, the Lord sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. People that don't want to hear the truth are not going to hear the truth. Why, you can get out on the street corners and shout the top of your lungs. I've seen it done. Preaching whatever doctrine they were preaching. And they were scoffed at by many people. If people do not want to hear preaching, they're not going to hear it. For as long as the world perseveres or persists in resisting the truth, the faithful must also persevere in upholding it. What if we, as Christians this day, were just to decide, you know what? What's the use? Why should we go out and find others who perhaps can be taught and teach them? As we look out upon this particular group, we see people of all different ages. And that doesn't mean that everybody has the same amount of time left. Some of us don't have as much as others. And it's not a thing relative to age. If you look into the obituaries, you'll see that there are people that are in their teens and 20s that die. But there are also people that are in their 70s and 80s and 90s that cease to live here in this world. While we are here, we must persevere. Because if we don't persevere in preaching and teaching the truth, eventually the church will become increasingly smaller. And when the last faithful member of this congregation closes his eyes in death, the congregation will cease to exist. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 8 and 9, we see why it is that we as faithful proclaimers of the Word of God must persist in preaching and upholding the truth. Jeremiah said, "For since I spake, I cried out, I cried, violence and spoil, because the Word of God was made a reproach unto me in derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." I have been told that as a preacher, there are times when you want to quit. I have been told by some preachers that they quit every Sunday morning when they get home from services. I'm done. Well, that's okay. Till about 5 o'clock, they get in their vehicle, they go back to the building, and they preach again. Why? Here's why. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." The truth is out there for a reason. The truth is available for a reason. And as long as faithful proclaimers of the gospel persist in preaching and teaching and upholding it, the church has a chance in this wicked world. We learn also from Jeremiah, as we continue to read, that we can put our trust in God. In Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 23, we can see that no matter how often the world casts it aside, God's word will always stand. There are people in this world this day that have not time for God's word. They don't have time. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be condemned by it. In fact, they would rather destroy it. In Jeremiah chapter 26 and verse 23, we see that it came to pass when Jehudah had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. The scroll was a roll of a book. It was the Word of God. But if you took every copy of the Word of God that you could lay your hands on and you had a book burning, you could still not destroy the Word of God. We know this as we look forward, where we look in Isaiah, in this particular point, to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. some of the same things that Jesus Christ said when Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah said, in that location, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. You can't destroy it. And therefore, we can put our trust in God. And we ought to be able to go to the word of God and to be able to show the people the desire of God. The desire of God is that man should be saved, that all should come to repentance. But we need to be aware also, and we can learn this from Jeremiah, that God will indeed judge all men, including his own people. We can find this in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Have you ever heard people say, God is a God of mercy, and on that great and final day, he's going to look out upon all of that lost humanity and say, it's okay. I'm going to accept you in. You know, that's the premise that a lot of people operate under. They think that God, because God is a God of love, that he's not going to judge especially his own people. Well, the truth of the matter is, God is just. And notice in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 10 what was said. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. What was he saying? Judah was part of the people of God, and they had turned away from God. When people make that statement, that God will not send me to hell, I wholeheartedly agree. Because each individual is in charge of their own fate. The same thing was true with God's people in that day. But Judah turned away from him with her whole heart. And let us look also in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. We can see the same thing. When we refuse to hear the word of God, he will hold it against us. He held it against his people Israel in that day. He will hold it against his people, the church, in this day. No matter how we want to sugarcoat it, no matter how we want to disguise it, no matter how we want to ignore it, when it's all said and done, God will judge. Notice from Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 13 through 15, and now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore, as a result of that, will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave you unto your fathers, as I have done unto Shiloh, I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. I think I remember about Jesus saying in that day, they're going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these wonderful works? And the Lord's going to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Or depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why? Because they refuse to hear the word of God. I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. We might also back up just a little bit to Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 9. So many warnings that the people of Jeremiah's day had that the justice of God was going to be done. It was going to be carried out among those people because of their failure to see the Word of God, because of their failure to receive the Word of God, because of their failure to adhere to the teachings of the Word of God. He said, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged for such a nation as this? As we contemplate these things, let us think about something that Israel failed to think about. God is our only hope. I've had several people to say, well, you know, none of us are going to get out of this life alive. That's true. We're all going to depart this life. But what really matters is what we have done while we are here in this life. Have we heard God? Have we listened to his word? Have we aligned ourselves with that Word so that we might stand before Him on that final day and be judged and receive that crown that He has promised to those that are faithful? Obviously, Israel didn't at that time. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Israel thought themselves to be a great nation, and they were. But they were a great nation because God had set them up. God had worked with them. God had taught them. And they had become a great nation. But in their mind, they became something greater than they really were. And then the Lord said in verse 6, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when the good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." But in verse 7, you see the contrast. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." The Lord wants us to yield fruit today. And we can learn this from Jeremiah. We know that the Lord is with us. We can see this in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11. I'm sure there are many other places. We're going to look at a few. But God is our only hope. He said to them in that particular location, "For I am with thee to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." You see, God had a purpose for separating Israel out as a nation. And part of that purpose was so that humanity could be saved in the time to come. As God dealt with those nations among whom Israel had been scattered because of Israel's disobedience, He made a full end of them, but not of Israel. And at the appropriate time, He pulled Israel back together. And yes, they were in Jerusalem when the time came for the Lord to come. And His plan went on. He tells us of this in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 and following, about the new covenant, the covenant that we're under now. It was prophesied then, and they should have recognized it when the time came. But of course, they didn't know the Word of God. They weren't following the Word of God. Therefore, when it came, and it wasn't like they perceived it should be, they didn't recognize it. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Notice then the differences between that and the covenant that was already with them. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husbandman, a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This great covenant of which Jeremiah told the people has now been put in place. So God is our only hope. But God was Jerusalem or Israel's only hope back then. In Jeremiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 11, we see that they went and cried to those things which are man-made gods, little g. And they brought evil upon themselves. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry to me, I will not hearken unto them. If indeed we refuse to hear what God has said to us, and we refuse to follow what God has said to us, no matter how much we cry to Him, He's not going to acknowledge that prayer because we've rejected Him. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all at the time of their trouble. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets in Jerusalem have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. This had been expressly forbidden, and Israel refused to hear God. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. We also learn from Jeremiah that God can use each of us to accomplish His will. Now, I'm not saying that God has a plan for each one of us. I've often heard that. People say, you know, God has a plan for me. Yes, He has the same plan for you as He does for me. It's written down. It's recorded. There it is for us. We can read it. We can choose to follow it, and we can choose not to follow it. It's entirely up to us. But God can use each of us to accomplish His will. We know His will is that men come to Him in repentance to be saved. We'll see in just a moment how it is that He can accomplish that will through us. But in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, when this was presented to him, he then said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I've heard people say, and in fact, I've said it myself, I can't get up in front of people and talk. First time it was ever mentioned to me, I just kind of shuddered. I said, no, I can't do that. I don't know how. I don't know what I'd say. Sometimes it's kind of hard to shut me up now. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I've actually heard people say, you know, it'd be so much easier if the Lord would provide us what to say. Wait a minute. Look here. It's there. It's in front of us. Now, the hard part sometimes is being able to fashion it so that it's presentable, so that it's receivable, so that the will of God is done. And that's exactly what he said to Jeremiah. Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I will send thee. The Great Commission tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And whatsoever I command thee, shalt thou speak. He has commanded in his word what we are to speak, and therefore it should not be that hard of a task. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I used to be afraid when I got up to speak. I am no longer afraid, because I know that if you make the right preparation, and if you're diligent in your study of the Word of God, that you will be able to accomplish what the Lord has sent you to accomplish. Doesn't mean you'll always do it the best that you can, but you'll be able to do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, we will see that the Apostle Paul, who was one time Saul, who persecuted the church, was directed by the Spirit to write to the Corinthian brethren that he was the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle. And this was the reason, because I persecuted the church of God. However, he then says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Ananias was told, go and you preach to him. You teach him what to do to be saved, because he's a chosen vessel. He's going to go to Gentiles. He's going to go to the Jews. He's going to go before kings and governors. He's going to preach the gospel in places where the Lord had not been named. And therefore, the grace which was bestowed upon the Apostle Paul was not in vain. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Jeremiah couldn't be shut up. The Apostle Paul couldn't be shut up. And Christians today cannot be shut down. That's because God will always take care of us. There are many different ways in which God takes care of us. We don't understand always the providential realm of God, but it exists. One place we can find this, learning from Jeremiah, is Jeremiah 38, verses 7 through 9. We find in that particular location, now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Here was a lowly eunuch, a servant in the king's house, who went to the king and pled for Jeremiah. Now God knew full well where Jeremiah was, but God's providence was at work there. And we know that later he was released. In Jeremiah chapter 40 and verse 1, we can see this. He says, and now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before me, before thee. Whether it seem good and convenient for thee, thither go. You see, after that imprisonment, Jeremiah had more opportunities to preach. What are we to conclude from this? What have we learned from Jeremiah? We learned that we must persevere. We must persist in continuing to preach and teach the truth. Is it discouraging? Yes, it was. Do you not think that Jeremiah oftentimes got discouraged? He even decided for a little while that he would hold off and not say anything. But he said the word burned within him like a fire shut up in his bones, and I could not stay. We've learned from Jeremiah that no matter how often the world casts it aside, God's word will always stand. And that will be the one thing that will stand beyond this world and all of the works therein. We learned that God will judge his people. Tonight as we gather here, we are God's people. And yes, he will judge us. And his judgment is just. So God is our only hope, and he can use us to accomplish his will. And while he's using us to accomplish his will, he will take care of us. Oftentimes people wonder about how it would be if they were in a situation when if they preached the word of God that their life would be taken from them. If indeed one stands strong and faithful and lives in accordance to the word of God, and someone takes their life because of it, they've won. Even when the world hates us and refuses to listen to the message that God is sending, we need to hold on to the truth, and we need to carry it forth. We need to look at people like Jeremiah. We need to learn that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be discouraging. We must remember that God's word is as unpopular today as it has ever been. But we must stand in the end, knowing that justice will be served to all. We must also realize and understand, without fail, that God is the only hope for us, and that he'll be with us to the very end to carry out the work that he's left for us to do. There's so much that we can learn from Jeremiah and other people, and perhaps we'll look into some other Old Testament Bible characters as we go down through time. And hopefully we'll be able to learn some of those things. But the things that we've seen tonight from Jeremiah, let's take those things and let's use them in our lives. Let's fight when we become discouraged. Let's preach on even when no one will listen. Let's persevere for the cause of Christ. As we do that, part of our message, part of our mission, is to make sure that people understand what one must do in order to be saved. The Bible is very clear on this point. It has laid out for us the gospel plan of salvation, and we know that the first of that gospel plan is to hear the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, we read, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, I've read that verse a number of times. And I wonder why it is that people won't pick it up and read it. Maybe the preacher's fault. But when the preacher's in the pulpit, and when the preacher's talking to people about their soul, he should always remind them of what they need to do in order to be faithful to God. Yes, they might not read, but they can hear. They must also believe. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we see, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." A person that is diligently seeking the Lord will not only believe, will not only hear, but also repent. Matter of fact, just after Saul was converted, in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, we see he showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. In Matthew 16, 15 and 16, we're also taught that we are to confess. Simon Peter made that great confession when Jesus said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then one is to be baptized into Christ. As we discussed this morning, to take upon them the inheritance that is promised to those who love the Lord and those who are obedient. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And then one is to remain faithful unto death. We think, you know, we don't have a lot of examples of that perhaps. We have one, an inspired example, because the Spirit told Paul to write what we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The question is tonight, are you in a state spiritually that if the Lord were to come right now, you would love his appearing? If you've not obeyed the gospel, you can do so tonight. If you are here and as a child of God, you've allowed sin to reign in your life, you're an erring child, you're separated from God because of your sin, and you can return to him in repentance and prayer, just as we saw in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." If you will, at this time, take out your song books. Turn to the hymn that was called out. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. If you need to respond to the gospel, now is the time.